Process? Big money doesn't talk. It roars, usually drowning out the people's voice. Bizarrely, the Supreme Court decreed in its 2010 Citizens United ruling that money is a form of free speech. Thus declared, the learned justices, people and corporations are henceforth allowed to spend unlimited sums of their money to speak in election campaigns. But wait, if political speech is measured by money, then by definition, speech is not free. It can be bought, thereby giving the most speech to the few with the most money. That's plutocracy, not democracy. Sure enough, in the first 6 months of this presidential election cycle, more than half of the record-setting $300 million given to the various candidates came from only 358 mega-rich families and the corporations they control. The top 158 of them total $176 million in political spending, meaning that, on average, each one of them bought more than $1 million worth of free speech. Nearly all of their money is backing Republican presidential hopefuls who promise, 1, to cut taxes on the rich, 2, cut regulations that protect us from corporate pollution and other abuses of the common good, and 3, to cut Social Security, food stamps, and other safety net programs that we unrich people need. The great majority of Americans adamantly oppose all of those cuts, but none of us has $1 million we can spend to buy an equivalent amount of political speech. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's not just some good public programs that are endangered by the court's ridiculous ruling, but democracy itself. That's why a new poll by Bloomberg Politics found that 78% of the American people, including 80% of Republicans, want to overturn Citizens United. To help, go to freespeechforpeople.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Temperatures rising, fever is high, can't see no future.
Monday, you're listening to Say Hey right here on 90.1 KZFR, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake. Back in studio with Noobs. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's my favorite time of year.
This is a great time of year. We got a lot of things happening. Postseason baseball, the NBA is about to start, college football, hockey.
Yep.
The NFL. It's all going on right now. It's all happening.
Did you just say NFL?
I said it, but I won't say anything more.
Okay.
That's it. I just
making sure.
Acknowledge it exists. Let's start with baseball, because the World Series Game 1 is tomorrow. That'll be the New York Mets in Kansas City, and it's going to be a great series. I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too.
Two teams that are very much deserving to be back in the action after long droughts of not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Royals were there last year, but you know, they haven't won since 85. The Mets haven't won since 86.
Yeah, and previous, they hadn't even been in the playoffs, far as Kansas City is concerned.
Yeah, and the Mets haven't been to the World Series since, what was it, 2000?
It's 2000.
And they got beat up by the Yankees.
Yep, 85 before that and 69 before that.
Yep.
So they're kind of on an interesting little run. They've gone 16 years, 15 years, and now 14 years in between appearances.
Yep. And it's two teams that I'm down with. I mean, I like both of these teams a lot.
Me too.
I like the way they play. Good clubhouses, good starting pitching, timely hitting, some power. It's a fun matchup to me.
Absolutely.
Let's trace their steps and get in there a little bit. And first we'll talk Mets sweeping the Cubs. And I wasn't surprised that the Mets won that series. I guess sweeping was not expected. But once it was all said and done, it wasn't shocking, because they really showed that the Cubs, despite being very young and talented, they are flawed in that, one, most importantly, they rely way too much on the home run to score runs.
Yeah,
and that always runs out in the postseason.
That's true.
It always does. Good pitching, good strong starting pitching is going to end up beating the home run happy teams at the end of the day.
Yeah, that old axiom seems to always prove true.
And I go back to the Yankee dynasty that we just referred to, beating up on the Mets. In those World Series teams in that dynasty, they only had one player hit 30 or more home runs that entire time.
Really?
Bernie Williams hit 30 home runs once.
Hmm.
So that just goes to show you, it's pitching, timely hitting, moving the runners along, stealing a bag here and there, playing smart baseball, and the Mets did all of that against the Cubs.
They did. You know, and got to talk about what Murphy, the kind of role he's on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 7 home runs in 9 postseason games. I believe he hit 6 in a row. And just, you know, not off of, I mean, we're talking about, you know, Kershaw, Greinke, Arrieta, John Lester. Mm-hmm. I mean, the creme de la creme of National League pitching.
Yep.
You know, save for his own guys, which we'll get to, some phenomenal rookies there and there on their team. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, everybody got real high on the Cubs after they took down St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and kudos to them, but St. Louis was a little banged up.
Right.
I feel like maybe they overachieved this year getting to 100 wins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, St. Louis is just kind of always in there, so I think people kind of take them for granted a little bit. But, you know, Chicago kind of getting that, you know, first series win, you know, since 2003, that was great for them.
Right.
I don't really count that one game wild card as a series.
No.
Because it's not.
No.
But, you know, when they went up against the Mets, it's like you just alluded to, a lot of their holes got exposed.
Yep.
You know, Kyle Schwarber came up as, you know, a catcher.
Yep.
And they threw him in left because they have Montero, who's better behind the plate, and they didn't want to take Schwarber's bat out of the lineup.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, there were some gaffes.
He did not play a good left field. In fact,
no.
He played a very poor left field that cost them multiple runs. And another thing is, this is more looking ahead, but, you know, Arrieta, he maybe ran out of steam a little bit in those last couple of starts, or maybe he just happened to have two poor starts against good teams. But next year, when the Cubs come back, I don't think you can really necessarily count on Arrieta having a 1.6 ERA or whatever and winning 15 straight games down the stretch. That's like a career thing for a guy that's worked up to that point.
Absolutely.
So if you're the Cubs, I think you really need to think about adding more to your rotation, because I'm not saying Arrieta is going to go back to being a guy with a 4.7 ERA.
No,
but I would be really surprised if he pitches like that next season.
Yeah, I doubt Theo Epstein is going to expect that repeat performance.
Right.
You know, nor should the Cubs faithful. But yeah, I'm with you. I think if he can just keep his ERA in the threes,
mm-hmm,
next year, he'll be happy with that. Maybe he gets 15 wins total.
Yeah,
you know. But what he did, you know, since the All-Star break was just, it was unheard of. I mean, it was literally like
Greg Maddux.
Yeah, not just career for him, but we're talking all-time baseball. You know, over 100 plus 30 years or whatever.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, it was phenomenal. John Lester, you know, a guy that usually gets it done in the postseason, didn't have the greatest of regular seasons this year. But I do feel like with those two guys, and like you just said, they need to build around them and add about two or three arms.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, after those guys were done, it was pretty much like, you know, when Kendrick was in there, it was like a bullpen game they had to do. Wood wasn't that good. I actually would have brought back Lester maybe,
mm-hmm,
on short rest for game four.
The point being, they're down 3-0.
They were done.
It's over.
They were done.
I mean, it's one team in the history of baseball,
yeah,
your own Boston Red Sox,
yes,
have ever done it. So it's over.
You know what? I was surprised, a little stat that there was only 34 of those opportunities.
Right.
Like, there's only 34 times that a team's gone down 0-3. That's kind of surprised me because, you know, the history of baseball is so long.
Right. True.
You
true.
Know?
And then we look over at the Royals, and they beat the Blue Jays in 6, in what was definitely entertaining 6 games.
Oh, and that last one, man. Toronto had a chance to tie it up and maybe even go ahead in the 9th.
They did, and then the Wade Davis got it done.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of tough strike calls, but, you know, still, you got first and third, nobody out, second and third, one out.
Yeah.
All right, if
you got to get him in.
One pitch doesn't go your way, you got to put the ball in play.
You got to put the ball in play. That's all there is to it.
Yep. And the Blue Jays, you know, they played a pretty good series. Their starting pitching was a little suspect at times in terms of its depth. Price pitched a good game 6.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, the better, more complete team won that series.
I agree. I think
it's just, you know, the Royals, they've gotten to a point where I feel like they know how to win. Like, they've really polished themselves over these last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play like a team now that's with house money. They play like a team that
right.
knows this is how we get it done.
Yeah, and you know, they should be a legitimate favorite going mm-hmm. forward as long as this team kind of stays, you know, together in the next, you know, couple of years. I don't see anybody in the American League Central overtaking them
right,
anytime
right.
soon. I mean, the Twins had a nice little year. I mean, the Tigers are always going to be able to spend some money. They got a lot of hitters on that team.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's like, you know, you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, they are absolutely a complete team.
They are.
They're hitting with more power than they were last year,
mm-hmm.
but they're still able to get on and get over and get in.
Yep.
You know.
They're getting enough out of the rotation.
Right.
Volquez looked really good.
He did. And Ventura, you know, has flashes of greatness.
He does. He has those little Pedro flashes about
yeah.
him. You know, Cueto's kind of a wild card. He pitched real good in the elimination game against Houston and then wasn't so good the next time around. So you don't really know what you're going to get with him in the postseason. But, you know, they're a good, complete team.
I think he's kind of the key to this series, honestly, because I think he's slated to pitch games 2 and game 6 if it goes that far.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, those are two crucial games.
Right.
You know, if they find themselves down 3-2
mm-hmm.
coming back home and you got him on the mound, I don't know. That's shaky.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a little bit up in the air. Because the Mets obviously have really solid starting pitching 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Matz is probably, you don't want to say the weakest link.
No, but he is.
Of the four arms, he's the least dominant.
Yeah.
But he's just a young guy, too.
He's a young guy.
Surgery. He's still very good.
He doesn't like wow you, though, like DeGrom and Syndergaard do.
No, those guys have a wow factor.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Mets' middle relief could be suspect, except they've used Bartolo Colon really well.
Which I think is a great idea.
Terry Collins has done a good job, because without Bartolo Colon in that slot, they don't really have that kind of guy. But he's been that guy for them.
No, he has. I mean, he won 14 games for them this year as a mm-hmm. starter.
Yep.
I mean, he had some flashes there.
His ERA was inflated, but, you know.
No, his ERA was bad, because when he lost, he got beat up.
Mm-hmm.
But when there was a stretch there. I had him on my fantasy team, not, you know, to digress too much, but there was like a run there where he threw like 30-something scoreless innings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was insane. You know, this 42-year-old guy who, you know, by all accounts, is just, you know, he's overweight.
He's a blimp.
He's a blimp.
Yeah.
But, I mean, whatever. He's a wily, cagey veteran. And
yeah.
Bringing him out of the bullpen to get that bridge to get to Clippard and more so Familia, because Familia has just been absolutely lights out.
Yeah. He's been really, really good. Kind of I don't want to say unsung, because he's getting attention.
Right.
But, like, that dude has really been – they've played a lot of close games in the postseason.
Yeah.
And he's been – nails, two outs, two inning saves, all that jazz.
Yeah, and you know, they still do have Jonathan Neese, who started some games for them, and also Logan Verrett, I think, available out of the bullpen. So they've got guys that can give you like 3 or 4 inning stretches if you need that.
Right.
But they've been pretty fortunate, because the starters have gone 6 or 7 innings almost every game, it feels like.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're definitely a force to be reckoned with from starting pitching standpoint. And offensively, who knows if Daniel Murphy is going to keep doing Barry Bonzian things or not.
I highly doubt it.
I mean, it would be really wild if he hit another home run in game 1.
No, it would be crazy.
Yeah, it's already crazy. But
baseball is such a streaky thing, though. Guys enjoy playing every day.
They do.
And this will be a 5-day layoff for New York.
They do. I expect tight games. I expect it to go 6 or 7.
I do too.
You know, I've been rolling with the Royals all year. I'm going to stay with the Royals.
Yeah, that was your prediction way early on.
That was my prediction in May. Yeah, and now that they're back, we mentioned it, not playing with house money this time.
Right.
I bet there's this thing going on in the locker room, like, you know, like, this is the year we need to win.
We got to close it out.
Because it's hard to get back a third year in a row.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, just ask the Texas Rangers.
Right.
That was tough. And they're going to be playing, you know, like their life's on the line, but they're a good team. They've staved off elimination in that Houston series.
Yep.
The Mets are more house money, a little younger, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be – it could go down as an all-time classic series.
It could.
Honestly, just because, like you said, I think every game has a potential to be tight, you know.
Right.
Where late in the game, where, you know, we're looking at bullpen matchups and, you know, close one-run games, National League-style ball, because Kansas City is able to play that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to hurt them too much, the 3 games, potentially, that they'll play at Citi Field.
One thing they'll have to figure out is what to do with Kendry Morales in the field, because he's been their DH all year.
Right.
He's kind of a trucker of a man, not known for his outfield athleticism.
No.
So they're going to have to figure that one out for sure.
Yeah, I expect them to just use him as a pinch hitter.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they were actually discussing this on the MLB Network. They were flashing back to situations in recent baseball postseason history where the American League DH was inserted into the National League, you know, field and really didn't pan out defensively.
David Ortiz did well.
David Ortiz was able to get it done at first.
And you couldn't take that bat out of the lineup.
It's when you try and hide somebody in the outfield.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the foot speed comes into play, you know, judging line drives. If first base, yeah, you could go Pedro Alvarez and start booting grounders left and right.
Yeah, you could. But it's easier than playing the outfield.
A little bit less dangerous.
For sure.
So I'll be curious to see how they manage that. Sometimes, like Tim Flannery was saying the other night, it's almost better to roll with your best offensive lineup and have that big bat coming up in a key situation off the bench.
Absolutely, because, I mean, late innings, you know, when the starter comes out, you know, and like, or that, you know, his turn in the rotation is coming up, mm-hmm. and maybe you're thinking you got a couple guys on base you want to hit for the pitcher. I mean, who better than Morales to come up with guys on base?
Right.
I mean, so you definitely want a guy coming off your bench to be able to hit one out or, you know, hit one in the gap. So I think keeping him on the bench would be maybe a smart play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then you insert him late, and then he has to play maybe a couple innings of defense, or you could even sub him out for a runner or whatever.
Double switch, whatever. Yeah. So look forward to a great series. Tomorrow night it all starts up. It's Edison Volquez against Matt Harvey of the Mets.
Do you have a prediction besides deep?
For game one?
No, for the whole thing.
I'm gonna say Royals in six.
Royals in six.
That's what I'm gonna go with.
Okay.
Yeah. But hey, we were joking around before the show. Maybe the Mets will sweep.
I doubt it.
You doubt it. Yeah, probably not.
But I'll tell you what, though.
This stuff's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And the thing, too, is that once, I mean, momentum is just a crazy thing, you know. And, you know, when the Red Sox won their first two, and not to keep harping on my team or whatever, but, you know, they had a really hard-fought series against the Yankees where they came down 0-3 and then they just swept St. Louis mm-hmm. right out of there just because it was like they had all the momentum in the world. And then the second time they were down 3-1 against Cleveland and were able to scratch back and win that series 4-3 and then they swept the Rockies.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying that that's what happened in the Mets or Kansas City because they didn't have their backs weren't ever against the wall in the National League or American League Championship Series respectively.
Mm-hmm.
However, I just feel like if you do get out like to a 2-0 lead, like let's say the Mets are up, somehow they steal both games in KC, mm-hmm. they're coming home, then yeah, the opportunity for a sweep really legitimately is there.
Yeah, yeah. I think in all seriousness that this KC team is really, they're just too scrappy, too fired up. Even if they weren't playing their best ball and the Mets are playing real good ball, I just don't see any way this is a short series.
Well,
you know?
I got to take my hat off to Kansas City as far as being able to flip the switch on again.
Right.
Because literally, like, from, I don't know, I'd say middle of July.
They slept through the division.
Well, that's what I mean. They had such a huge lead. They had a double-digit lead the entire time.
Yeah.
So it's like, for them to be able to, you know, it took them maybe kind of a minute to wake up against Houston.
Yeah.
But once they made that huge comeback in game four and then shut them down in game five, then they look like they owned Toronto.
Well, even that game that Toronto was like up 11-3 or whatever, and then the Royals put on a bunch of runs in the ninth and like practically brought the tie and run up.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, they don't go away.
Well, and then that set the stage for the next game where they scored 14 runs.
Right.
So it was like
they had like 17 hits and they just, you know, destroyed them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess my heart maybe is for the Mets. I mean, I like Kansas City. You know, it's a great story, and I love these smaller market teams, you know, especially teams that haven't been there in a while. So I'll be okay with whoever wins. There's mm-hmm. nobody that I'm like, there's no Yankees here for me where I'm like, oh, God, I really don't want them to win.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so I'm okay with it either way. But, yeah, I mean, to your point earlier, I think Kansas City, having been there last year, it's like there's some unfinished business there.
Yeah.
And I just feel like they're just collectively not going to allow themselves to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just, I mean, they really are a good clubhouse. And one guy that I really like watching play is Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah.
I just love everything about his game, man. He's one of those guys like a Hunter Pence or just one of these dudes that does everything the right way.
Right.
Hustles. Hits for power, hits for average, has speed, has a good arm. Like, just a complete package.
That being said, I'll take the Mets in six.
There you go. I was going to say, I think there's a sheet of paper that says Harris. It might
No. 5%.
No, it's just 5%.
Yeah. 5%. Well, the great thing now is that I can hedge.
How do you mean?
Well, I can take Kansas City.
That's true.
Right?
That's
and
true.
So I could put myself in a no-lose situation.
Very true.
Which is nice.
Very true.
This is what you learn over the years, kids.
That's right. This is what you learn, kids, from John Newberry. And, you know, that's we've been talking baseball here on Say Hey. And we'll finish up with just kind of a quick, maybe do a quick touch on the NBA, which starts tomorrow.
I know. I can't believe it.
I know. I can't believe it either. Next week, we're going to be on for Pledge Drive, and we got a full hour.
Nice.
So we can do a little more in-depth NBA.
Cool.
But I feel like we'd be remiss not to at least touch on it with tip-off being tomorrow.
Defending NBA champion, your Golden State Warriors.
Warriors will be going up against the Pelicans, which is a great opening night matchup.
Uh-huh.
So I guess I'll start with Golden State briefly and say that they got a target, but they're definitely going to contend. I mean, the West is brutal. I'm not going to go ahead and pick the Warriors to repeat because it's just so hard to do in such an amazingly difficult conference. But you know they're going to contend. I think it's going to be weird having Steve Kerr still out with the back injury.
Yeah, that's
a bummer.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, and Luke Walton is by all accounts a good young basketball mind.
Yeah,
but I wonder if some things might show up early on when he's coaching that. You know, that could cost him in a crucial minute here and there. We'll just have to wait and see.
We will. And, you know, hopefully Coach Kerr is able to make a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
And get back on the bench real soon. But the one thing that I will say is I'm expecting somewhat of a letdown from Golden State because of the fact that even though they were the front runners all year in the West and in the NBA in total, after they kind of put Atlanta in their rearview mirror there.
Yeah.
But as far as like, you know, they still didn't have the target on their back because they hadn't really done anything in the postseason. You know, they had the one win over Denver. But, you know, now that target is definitively on their back, on their chest, however you want to say it. And they're going to get everybody's best shot every night.
Yeah.
And, you know, even lowly teams like the Pistons are going to give it their all. And let's be honest, not every NBA team tries all 82 games of the year. Like, even Cleveland takes nights off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just the nature of it. But so I'm looking for Golden State to not quite get to 60 wins.
Okay.
I'm expecting them to finish maybe third or fourth behind LA and San Antonio, maybe even Houston. I expect them to win a playoff series or two, but I do not see them going back to the finals.
I expect them to compete and be right there in the mix of it, and whatever shakes out in the postseason shakes out. Because it's hard to predict what happens in the postseason with the West. I'll tell you something I would personally really enjoy. I would really enjoy the Houston Rockets taking a huge step down, because that team is a bunch of punks, man.
They are.
Those guys are a bunch of crybaby, trash-talking punks, out of touch with the reality of their own plight. You know, I mean, they're even worse than the Clippers, or maybe the Clippers are worse.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
the Clippers like to talk this big game about, you know, how things should be. It's like, dude, you guys haven't even gotten to the conference finals. You know,
interesting words out of Doc Rivers the other day. He said, well, you know, they got lucky because they didn't have to go through us or the Spurs.
It's like, oh, well, and you're the ones that choked out a 3-1 lead.
Up by 19 at home.
Yeah. It's like, what are you talking about? Luck.
No, that's the thing. It's like
it's because you're not good enough.
If you don't take care of who's in front of you. Like, you can't blame Golden State for having to play Memphis and then Houston. That's not their fault.
No.
You know
and
what
they
I
destroyed
mean?
Houston. They only lost to Houston once the entire year in 9 games.
I thought that series was, what, 4-1?
4-1, yeah. 4-1. And they went 5-0 in the regular season.
And honestly, James Harden, what a terrible performance in that last game when he was just dribbling the ball off his foot. It's like he had never played basketball before.
And then this guy was like,
he was the MVP.
I was
I'm
MVP,
the best player.
Even though 80% or 90% of the league voted not for me, clearly, I'm the MVP.
Yeah, I don't know. That's delusional.
His team beat the champions once in 9 tries.
And then Dwight Howard just came out and said he was injured the entire time.
Right. I'm still a champion. I know I'm a champion. It's like, what's wrong with you? Like, what kind of world do you live in as an athlete?
These guys are delusional. You know,
completely
honestly.
Completely delusional.
Because, you know, Dwight Howard, I mean, maybe he's a champ. Maybe he won his high school state championship or something.
Yeah, great.
But he hasn't won anything with Orlando.
That McDonald's All-American game.
I mean, he has one Eastern Conference championship under his belt with Orlando.
Right.
So I guess technically he's won a championship.
He's an Eastern Conference champion.
But that's nothing.
Congratulations.
That's like saying I finished fourth in my fantasy football league.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's a bad analogy.
Especially
I can come up with something better than that.
Especially with the East.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's just like, that's what I mean. Like, yay, we won the East. Like, so what? Like, yeah. A year in and year out, there's five teams in the West that are better than, you know, 2 through 15. And, yeah. You know, they throw up one good team. Whoever LeBron James is on, right. Whatever team he's on is good. But the rest of the freaking conference stinks.
Yeah, exactly.
In Chicago, I'm talking to you, too.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see who, I don't know, who steps up in the East to maybe try and move up the ranks a couple of spots.
Indiana, maybe.
Yeah, Indiana, now that they're healthy.
Celtics, baby.
The Celtics, yeah.
Good young team, great young coach.
I don't know if there's like a new lightning rod out of the East, though.
No.
You know,
Cleveland,
like,
got better.
Cleveland is Cleveland. They are not going to have any real stiff competition. And that's the thing about, we touched on it, you know, a little bit at the end of the last season, but like, LeBron James is great. We all know that. He's, you know, the best player in the NBA. But, dude, if he played in the West on any team, there's no way he would have gone to the finals five times.
No.
Not a chance.
That's why.
It's just not the way it works.
That's why I believe in conspiracy theories, Jake. You know I do.
What, and of him playing in the East?
Yeah.
He's the one that has the conspiracy. He knows it better than anybody.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about it is you have LeBron James versus whoever comes out of the West, which is going to be a phenomenal team.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you're right. If he was, say, on Portland or something.
He's not stupid.
No, he's not dumb.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to go to L.A.
No.
Are you kidding me? No, he was going to stay in the East. Maybe play on the Knicks. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. That would have been interesting to see if he could have resurrected the Knicks.
That would have been kind of humorous. Yeah, God, the Knicks.
That's terrible.
What an embarrassment.
And you know, the other thing is, just because there's so many great basketball players, to have come out of New York City, I don't understand why there's this expectation that the Knicks have to be good. They won one championship or two championships in the early 70s,
yeah.
And everybody's lamenting the fact that Knicks aren't good. Like, who cares?
They have some right.
They're
supposed to be good. Like, aside from the run of the 90s with the Ewing years,
yeah.
they haven't been good.
You're not the Lakers. You're not the Celtics.
You're nothing.
You're not.
I mean, they're historically
not even the Bulls.
A pretty poor team.
Yeah.
Aside from a handful of seasons.
I mean, they had some great runs with Ewing where they'd get to conference finals and they even got to a final.
Yeah.
And it was a classic final against Houston. But let's be honest, if Michael Jordan wasn't playing baseball, they wouldn't have gotten there.
Yep, that is correct.
Chicago would have gone to 8 in a row.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, unless injuries take over again, which is totally a totally realistic situation for the Cavs, because a dude like Kyrie Irving, who's already suffered that much as a younger player, he's not going to get healthier as the years go by.
He might be a Derrick Rose.
You look like Derrick Rose. You know what I mean? It's like, do not expect that guy to be playing 82 games a year.
No.
That's just not going to happen.
No.
And even Kevin Love is, you know, he's had a bit of the injury bug in recent times. So if they're healthy, I think you can pretty much pencil them into, you know, the finals. But if they get beat down, I don't know. We'll see.
I still feel like there's enough there with Tristan Thompson and some of the other guys they got coming back. Mozgov's coming back, I believe.
I think
Varejao's healthy. I think even if Irving goes down, I still think LeBron can put him on his back and get him to the finals. But there's no way they're winning the finals without them being completely healthy.
No.
You know, you're not going to get some crazy series like you did out of, what's that kid's name again?
Dellavedova.
Thank you. That's not happening again.
No, and even that was, it was like a momentary thing.
Right. He had a couple good games.
He had a couple of good games, but it was like this, almost kind of like a sleep moment or two for Golden State. Like,
right.
Oh, they're down and out. Like, here we go. And they just played like garbage for about a game and a half.
Yeah.
And then once they woke up, they won.
Yeah. So, okay, that being said, let me get a prediction out of you. Let's say something catastrophic happens to the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say LeBron's back tightens up or whatever.
Yeah.
Who you got as the number two?
You know, I like to think that Washington could step up.
Okay.
They got some good young players.
Yeah. I like Beal and Wall.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if Indiana has a strong resurgence of health, but I do like the, I'm going to call them the Bullets. I do like the Bullets. I do. I don't know. I think they're a fun team to watch. I don't know if they're complete enough. I don't think that the Hawks are really. I mean, they're a good team, but they didn't look like a number one last year at all.
No, I mean, and considering that they didn't give Cleveland any fight whatsoever, that was disappointing.
And they were beat up too.
They were fair.
I just don't think they're that kind of team.
Literally beat up by the New York City Police Department.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to hopefully see Washington make a bigger push. Just because. But
right.
We'll see if that actually happens. We're wrapping it up here on Say Hey. Next week we're going to be in Pledge Drive, so we'll be doing it for an hour. And Noobs, are you ready for an hour-long Say Hey next week?
I am. I think we should do like a comprehensive Golden State preview.
We will. We'll go division by division. We'll break it down.
Sounds
and,
good.
And rest in peace to Flip Saunders.
Absolutely.
Who died at the age of 60 in a bout with cancer. So Say Hey was made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Chico's newest restaurant, Buffalo Wild Wings. They feature 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs, nonstop sports, wings, and more at 801 East Avenue, open 11 a.m. till midnight. And then we got the Paradise Grange presenting a Halloween.